right, welcome to the deep dive, where we take those sources that you are super curious about and kind of like extract those core insights, you know, the things you really need to know quickly.
Absolutely.
And today we're going to be laser focused on this lecture from Dr. Gary Metters.
Okay.
And this one is all about the book of 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians, yeah.
And specifically, our goal with this deep dive is to really unpack his framework for understanding not just what the Bible teaches, but how it actually teaches us.
How it teaches, yeah.
So think of this as your express lane to grasping why interpreting scripture can sometimes be so complex and honestly kind of confusing.
Yeah.
And also how you can actually navigate all those different viewpoints out there.
Yeah, you share Dr. Metters' lecture with me. It's called Metters 1 Lecture Arrow 3.pdf.
That's the one.
And it really hits on something fundamental.
Yeah.
So we often find ourselves asking, you know, what does the Bible say about this? Or what does the Bible say about that? But this deep dive is about taking a step back and digging into the how.
The how. Yeah.
Like, how does it actually convey those teachings?
Yeah.
So our mission here is to explore Dr. Metters' three-tiered system for understanding biblical teaching.
Okay.
And it's a fantastic tool for really understanding, you know, why different people, even when they're reading the same scriptures, end up with different conclusions.
Yeah.
And it can be incredibly helpful, I think, for your own personal Bible study.
Yeah.
And for having those, you know, thoughtful discussions with others about scripture.
Definitely. So let's just dive right in.
Okay.
One thing that I think all of us who have spent any time reading the Bible and talking to other people about the Bible have experienced is just the sheer variety of interpretations out there.
That's
cool. You talk to different people, you read different commentaries, and all of a sudden, this one verse that you thought was pretty straightforward now means like 12 different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have 5 different commentaries, and you might get 5 different interpretations, and you're like, wait, what's going on here?
And Dr. Metters jumps right into some very specific, concrete examples.
Yeah.
You know, he mentions these ongoing debates surrounding 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12.
Right.
Concerning the role of women in teaching roles.
Big debate. Yeah.
Huge debate. Right. And
still
going on. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have, you know, you have this whole spectrum of beliefs about miraculous spiritual gifts today.
Yeah.
Particularly when you look at 1 Corinthians itself.
Yeah, like speaking in tongues and prophecy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a big one.
Yeah. And what I think is so striking is just the sheer scope of this variation.
It's wild.
Right.
You know, it's not just little minor disagreements here and there.
Right.
Dr. Metters points out that this is not even limited to just different corners of Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, you see significant differences across major faith traditions, like Judaism, Christianity, Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, all engaging with what many consider to be the same foundational texts.
Right, the same Bible.
Yeah, same Bible. And even within Christian denominations, you find these really diverse perspectives on even basic practices like baptism or the role of women in ministry.
Yeah.
And even like how we understand the end times.
Yeah.
Eschatology.
All from the same book.
All from the same Bible. It's crazy.
It can definitely leave you scratching your head.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit, right? Like,
for sure.
Wait a minute. If we're all reading the same book, how are we coming up with such different ideas?
Yeah, like, what am I missing here?
Right. And you might even feel a bit frustrated, honestly, with all these seemingly conflicting viewpoints.
Oh, absolutely.
But Dr. Metters is very clear on this point. And I think this is a crucial point for all of us as we kind of embark on this deep dive.
Okay.
Just because there are many interpretations doesn't automatically mean that every single one is equally valid.
Right.
Nor should this diversity discourage us from actually seeking to understand.
That's such a good point. And it leads us to, I think, a really important question.
Okay.
About epistemology.
Okay, now hold on. Epistemology, that sounds a little...
I know, it's a fancy word.
Yeah.
But it's really just a fancy term for how we know what we know.
Okay.
So when it comes to the Bible, it's really asking the question, how do we arrive at our understanding of its truths?
Okay.
And here's the tension, right?
Okay,
We have this one text, the Bible, that is considered inspired.
Right.
But we have all these countless individuals interpreting it. And those interpretations, by definition, are not inspired in the same way that, the text itself is.
Right, right.
So the fact that we see this huge variety of understanding, mm-hmm. to some extent, reflects how God has allowed things to operate in the world.
Okay.
You know, we don't have this single universally recognized interpreter that was like handed down from heaven by divine decree.
Yeah, no Pope of Bible interpretation.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. So that kind of deflates the idea that a lot of people have. The Holy Spirit just kind of like beams the precise meaning of every verse.
Right. Directly into our minds.
Straight into our minds. Yeah. Like, here's what this verse means. Don't worry about it. I got you.
Right.
Dr. Mitters clarifies that the Spirit's role is more about conviction.
Okay.
So it's about affirming the Bible's authority.
Okay.
It's about you know, prompting us, giving us that nudge to say, hey, this book is important and you need to really dig in and study it.
Mm.
But as beings created in God's image,
mm-hmm.
we have a responsibility to actually engage with this text mm-hmm. thoughtfully
mm.
and to really try to interpret it.
Okay, so that brings us to the heart of Dr. Mitter's lecture.
Yes.
Which is his paradigm of the three levels of biblical teaching.
Well, three levels, yeah.
All right, so he suggests that the Bible communicates to us in these three distinct ways.
Okay.
Directly through implication.
Right.
And then through what he calls creative constructs.
Creative constructs.
Yeah. All right. So this framework, I think, is really key to kind of making sense of this whole diverse landscape of biblical interpretation.
Absolutely. It gives us a way to categorize
the
different types of teaching that we find.
Okay. So let's start with the foundational level here.
All right.
The first one. Direct teaching.
Direct teaching, okay.
So if we're digging deeper into what this means, it's essentially about what the Bible explicitly states, right?
Like what it actually said.
Just straight up
in its original context.
Right. So, you know, we're trying to understand what the original author intended to communicate to their original audience.
The original audience, right.
So back in the day,
yeah,
what did this mean to those people?
Exactly. And this seems like the bedrock upon which everything else is built.
Yes.
Right. Like
just like the foundation.
The foundation, yeah.
The house, you gotta start with that.
Yeah.
You gotta get that right.
Yeah.
So direct teaching is about striving to understand that original intent of the biblical writers as accurately as possible.
Okay.
And this involves careful exegesis. Which
it's another one of those big words.
I know. I'm sorry. I try to avoid them, but this one's important.
Okay.
So exegesis, it really just means drawing the meaning out of the text.
Okay.
So we're not reading into the text.
We're trying to let the text speak for itself.
Okay.
And that means considering
its
language, its historical and cultural setting, its literary style.
So all the context.
All the context, yeah.
That surrounds the actual words.
And that meticulous work that really forms the essential base for any further levels of understanding.
Okay, so we've got the direct statements. That's
level one.
Level one.
Yeah.
The foundation.
All right, what's next?
Next up is implied teaching.
Implied teaching. Okay, now this is where things get really interesting.
Yeah, this is where it gets a little...
a little trickier.
A little more fuzzy, right?
Yeah.
So these are important truths that aren't necessarily spelled out word for word.
Right.
But they're strongly suggested or...
yeah, they're kind of hinted at.
Hinted at, yeah.
Yeah.
Or they become clear when we start to connect different parts of Scripture.
And we're going to put the pieces together a little bit.
Yeah. Dr. Mitters provides some really helpful and illustrative examples here.
He does, yeah. What are some of the ones that stand out to you?
Well, let's see. So what's fascinating here is how these implied teachings kind of emerge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do they come about?
Yeah. So they arise from, you know, putting different texts together.
Okay.
Seeing the connections between various teachings in the Bible.
Right. So we're not just looking at one verse in isolation.
Right.
We're looking at the whole picture.
Right. We're taking a step back.
Yeah.
And looking at the whole tapestry.
The whole tapestry of Scripture.
Of Scripture. Yeah. And then following those kind of like logical threads.
Yeah. Like if this is true, then that must also be true.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So take, for example, his example about husbands not physically abusing their wives.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, you won't find a specific commandment that says thou shalt not punch thy wife.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that.
Yeah.
But the numerous commands to love, respect your spouse,
love your neighbor,
unequivocally imply that such behavior is wrong.
It goes against the grain of all those other teachings.
And it goes against the spirit of those direct commands.
The spirit, Eloi.
And then he brings up this complex issue of slavery.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
Really tough one, right? And there isn't a single verse that directly and universally condemns.
But flat out says slavery is wrong.
All forms of slavery.
Right. Yeah.
However, when you examine the broader teachings.
The bigger picture.
Particularly in the book of Philemon, where Paul encourages Philemon to treat his runaway slave, Onesimus, not as property.
Right.
But as a brother in Christ.
A brother,
The implications against dehumanizing and oppressive forms of slavery become incredibly strong.
Yeah. It's like even though it doesn't say slavery is wrong explicitly, it's like you can't read that and then think, oh, slavery is totally fine.
Right. It just doesn't fit. So it's not a direct prohibition in every instance.
Yeah.
But the weight of the implied teaching is very, very significant.
It's huge, yeah.
Yeah, and I think this really underscores the need for careful and responsible interpretation.
Absolutely.
Like
we can't just pick and choose verses that fit our agenda.
Right. And Dr. Metter's cautions against what he calls proof texting.
Proof texting, yeah.
Which is essentially grabbing individual verses out of their original context.
Ripping them out.
Yeah, ripping them out. And then using them
to support your pre-existing idea.
Yeah, to support a pre-existing idea or an agenda.
Cool. Yeah, and he uses this powerful term. I love this.
Yeah.
Hermeneutical ventriloquism.
Hermeneutical ventriloquism.
Which just paints this vivid picture of like making the Bible say what we want it to say.
Right.
Rather than actually truly listening to its intended message.
Right.
You know? Like we're putting words in its mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the example he gives from 1 Thessalonians about avoiding all appearance of evil, which is often misapplied to condemn things like certain types of entertainment or like
clothing or whatever.
Yeah.
Really highlights this.
It's like, but. If you go back to the actual context of that passage, the actual intent is to avoid every form of evil.
Right.
Which requires us to first understand what constitutes evil.
Right.
According to the broader biblical framework.
Right. So it's not just about appearances. It's about
the heart.
The actual evil itself.
Actual evil, yeah.
Okay, so to recap, we've got direct teaching.
Right.
Those explicit statements.
This is what it says.
Then we've got implied teaching, which are those truths we can deduce logically and biblically.
By putting the pieces together.
Yeah, by looking at the whole picture.
Yes.
That leads us to the top of Dr. Metter's model.
Okay, here we go.
Creative construct. This one sounds a bit more, I don't know, theoretical.
It does, yeah. It's getting a little more abstract.
Abstract, yeah. Okay.
So creative constructs are basically these larger, more comprehensive systems and overarching explanations of the entire Bible that are built upon the foundation of the biblical data.
Okay. So
think about major theological systems.
Okay.
Like premillennialism, amillennialism,
okay,
Calvinism, Arminianism,
yeah,
covenant theology, dispensational theology.
Like big
these
systems.
Systems. Yeah. Dr. Metter emphasizes that while these constructs claim to be firmly rooted in Scripture, they inevitably involve a significant degree of compilation and interpretation through a particular theological lens.
So it's not just
reading the text and spitting back what it says.
Right.
It's taking all this data and then filtering it through your particular understanding of how the Bible works.
So these aren't necessarily incorrect?
No, not necessarily, but they are a step further removed.
Step further removed
yeah.
from that immediate, direct, and even implied teaching.
The direct and implied,
So more like, they're more like frameworks that we develop.
Yeah, sort of works.
To try to understand this grand narrative.
The meta-narrative of the Bible.
Of the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're helpful.
It can be helpful, yeah.
But they're not.
But they're not the Bible itself.
They're not the Bible itself.
Right.
Okay.
And that's why it's so important to test them.
Right.
To make sure that they're actually lining up.
Right. That they're not contradicting
the
direct teachings and the implied teachings.
Excellent.
And that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
In explaining why we see such a wide array theological viewpoints.
Oh, yeah.
Even within the same Christian tradition.
Right. You have people who all agree on the direct teachings.
Right.
And maybe even on some of the implied teachings.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes to these creative constructs, that's where they start to diverge.
Yeah.
Because they're building different systems.
Right.
Based on how they understand and prioritize all that data.
And to kind of provide a broader framework.
Okay.
For understanding this whole process of interpretation.
Yeah, this is helpful.
Dr. Metters introduces this idea of the theological encyclopedia pyramid.
The theological encyclopedia pyramid.
Okay, so he places exegesis.
Okay.
And biblical theology.
Right.
At the very base of this pyramid.
The foundation, yeah.
The foundation. So, as we discussed, exegesis is that process of making reasoned judgments.
Right, like really digging into the text.
Yeah, about the biblical text itself.
Yeah.
And then biblical theology focuses on understanding the Bible within its original
Context.
Historical and cultural context.
Historical and cultural.
So it's looking at
what did it mean?
What it meant.
Back then,
yeah.
Yeah.
To those people.
To the original audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then building upwards from that strong foundation.
Okay, so we got the foundation and then we
start building up.
Start building. Yeah.
And we have these subsequent levels like historical theology.
So that's
looking at how the church has understood scripture
throughout history.
Throughout history.
Yeah. So we're broadening the scope a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there, we go to systematic theology.
Systematic theology, which is like trying to put all the pieces together into a coherent system.
Into a system. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then from there.
Then philosophical theology.
Philosophical theology, which is
getting even more abstract.
Right.
Like, what are the philosophical underpinnings of our theological beliefs?
Right. So how does this fit? Yeah. Into the larger
world of ideas.
World of ideas.
Yeah.
And then we got apologetic theology.
Apologetic theology, which is defending.
Defending the faith.
The faith, yeah.
And then right at the apex.
The pyramid.
The tippy top.
We have ministry theology.
Ministry theology, which is taking all of that.
Yeah.
And then applying it to.
The practical work.
The practical work of the church.
Of the church.
Yeah.
Now, what's absolutely crucial to grasp here.
Yeah. Is the intended direction.
See direction. Okay.
So this is an integrated system.
Right.
That's designed to work from the ground up.
From the ground up. Yes. Yeah. So starting.
Start the foundation.
With that careful study.
Yeah.
Of the text itself.
The text itself. Yeah. And then build up from there.
Building up.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Metters cautions that.
Yeah.
If you reverse this process, if you start with a particular ministry goal or a preconceived systematic theology.
Right. Like you already have your system in mind.
And then you try to read those ideas into the text.
You're going to run into problems.
You're going to run into problems.
Yeah.
You're likely to end up with misinterpretations.
Yeah, because you're letting your system dictate what the text means.
Right.
Rather than letting the text speak for itself.
And he stresses that. For those of you out there who are involved in any form of ministry.
Teachers, pastors,
small group leaders.
Your work of understanding and proclaiming God's word needs to be firmly anchored in that solid textual foundation.
You got to start with the text.
Start with the text.
All right, so
we got these two pyramids.
We got these two pyramids.
The theological encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And the three levels of biblical teaching.
Yeah, how do these two frameworks relate to each other?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked.
All right, lay it on me.
So he explains that the left side of the three levels pyramid.
Okay.
Which moves from the initial teaching intent.
Mm-hmm.
To more complex theological analysis.
Okay.
That directly corresponds to the increasing levels of interpretation.
Okay.
As you ascend the theological encyclopedia.
Okay. So let me see if I understand this.
Yeah.
So we start with the direct meaning.
Right.
Through exegesis.
Yeah.
Biblical theology at the base.
At the base of the theological encyclopedia.
And then we
move towards those more intricate interpretations.
Right. Like the higher level stuff.
Yeah. That we find in systematic and philosophical theology, which ultimately inform those creative constructs.
Exactly. So the left side of the three levels pyramid is basically tracking with the levels of the theological encyclopedia.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, good.
Now, what about the right side?
All right, right side.
Of the three levels pyramid.
Okay.
Going from what he calls low taxonomy to high taxonomy.
Taxonomy. Okay, another big word.
I know.
But it's a helpful one.
Okay.
So think of taxonomy as like the level of built-in assumptions.
Okay.
So direct teachings have fewer assumptions.
Okay.
They're closer to the raw data of the text.
Okay.
Whereas creative constructs have a lot of assumptions built in.
Right, because they're built on top of. All this other stuff.
All the other stuff, yeah. So that right side is basically saying as you move up the three levels pyramid, you're increasing the number of assumptions.
Okay. So the creative constructs at the top are going to have way more assumptions built in.
Way more assumptions.
And in direct teaching at the bottom.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And that's precisely why Dr. Meders emphasizes that those high taxonomy creative constructs require ongoing critical evaluation.
Right. We can't just take them at face value.
No. We got to test them.
We got to test them.
We got to make sure that they're actually lining up with the more foundational levels.
Right. So if I'm encountering a debate about, say, a very specific interpretation of prophecy regarding the end times.
End times prophecy, yeah.
Which would likely fall under a creative construct.
Right, of a good top.
At the top of the three levels.
Yeah.
This whole framework reminds me to trace that interpretation back down.
Back down, yeah.
To those direct teachings.
To the foundation.
And to really examine the exegetical and biblical theology.
The groundwork.
Yeah.
And the base of the theological encyclopedia.
If that foundational work is weak or misapplied,
the whole thing could come crumbling down.
Then the entire prophetic interpretation might be on shaky ground.
It might be built on sand.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great way to understand it.
And by being aware of these levels, we can engage
thoughtfully
with different theological viewpoints.